The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Keeping It Real with former NFL wide receiver and Auburn University standout, Jairus McIntyre. Are you ready to hear it live from the athletes, celebrities, and fans? Jairus, his co-hosts, and his guests will keep you laughing, thinking, and talking. Now, here's your host, Jairus McIntyre.
Yeah, hello everybody, what's going on? You know, I'm your host, Jairus McIntyre, down here at lovely Tampa, Florida. I got my special guest host today. My homie Errol Hunter down here in Tampa, Florida, back in the day. You know, he was a big baller down here at Hillsborough High School. What's going on, E?
How you doing, Jairus? What's going on, everybody?
I'm all right. Man, I was just watching TV, and the first thing I saw that came on was Mr. Brett Favre. Says he's going to retire. What do you think about that?
I mean, personally, I'm glad that the whole soap opera is over with. I mean, I think at this point, everyone's pretty much ready to either have this guy play or just call it a day. I'm tired of hearing about it myself.
I mean, but there's a flip to it. He texts his teammates. So, I don't know how in-depth, you know, what the text was and what he said to the teammates, but he texts his teammates. So, with that being said, do you think it's still a big possibility that you'll see him in Minnesota, you know, come September?
You know what? Personally, I think that if he sent a text message to his teammate saying he was going to call it a day, I think that's probably, you know, probably leaning towards him really staying out of it, because we all know Brett has been known to go to the media, you know, to stir up drama, controversy, to bring attention to himself. But, I mean, if he's telling his teammates he's not coming back, you know, I think we have to believe him in this, you know, this time around.
Yeah, I mean, I say I believe him, but you never know. I think, you know, Brad get on the helicopter or the plane and fly down there in Mississippi and holler at him a little bit and say, hey, Brett, come on now. We got the Super Bowl caliber team here. We need you. Like, do you still think they can persuade him to come back? Because me personally, I believe it a little more since he texts his teammates and, you know, probably those are people closer to him that, you know, he's dealing with. But I still don't want to believe it. I mean, no, you know, with the team that he has, with the players he has, from Percy to Sidney Rice to Adrian Peterson on that offense and then that dominant defense that they had last year with that front seven, I mean, I think it's real tough. It's going to be real tough for him to just say, all right, I'm done. I mean, do you know, what do you think about that, though?
I mean, I think we all know, based upon Brett's past history, that until, you know, he sends his letter in to the commissioner or does whatever it is you guys do when you file your formal retirement, I mean, you can never say never. But, I mean, at this point, you know, camp's already started. You know, obviously guys are in there working out now. You know, if he's going to quit, he needs to quit now. You know, instead of having Tavares and those guys go through camp not knowing what's going on, if he's going to quit, he needs to quit now. You know, it seems like it's a different set of rules that applies to Brett anyway. So,
yeah, I definitely agree with that. Now, with that being said, like you said, you brought up Tavares. With Tavares being behind the helm with this team, with these players, with this defense, do you think that they can make it back to the NFC Championship and maybe to the Super Bowl?
I mean, based upon what we've seen of defense in the running game wins championships, I mean, I would think they still have a good shot. I mean, you know, Tavares has been there, what, 3 or 4 years now, you know, had a chance to learn underneath Brett. He obviously knows the system. He's been with Childress a couple years now. I mean, bringing in, what, a 41, 42-year-old, there's no telling that he'd have been there the whole season either way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the Vikings will still be in pretty good shape with Tavares. From everything that comes out, it seems like his teammates support him, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think they're going to be all right either way.
Yeah, he is a player with a big arm, and he can make plays, and he was a second-round pick, so he has some talent. I know if he puts it all together, they could have a pretty decent team like they did last year. I got another caller that just called in, Mr. Dontarius Thomas, ex-Minnesota Viking, second-round pick for them back in the 2004 draft, currently playing in the UFL doing this thing. What's up, DT?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Man, you all right? How you been, bro?
Been good. Just trying to get ready, get back in shape, get ready to head out to Sacramento to get back out there.
Yeah, y'all Auburn fans know this is an Auburn great, Auburn legend, you know, big timer doing his thing in the UFL
that.
Now. We us talking about Minnesota, man. What do you think about Brett Favre? I know you currently still living up in Minnesota. What do you think about Brett and his now I'm retired, maybe retired, maybe not, texting a teammate and all that other stuff? What's your read on that? What you think?
I really don't know, man. Brett Favre is one of those guys that's hard to read. I mean, you got to look at his past, what he's done as far as like saying I'm retired. Especially last year, going through the situation and being around the team and hearing what was said as far as, like, well, how he felt he didn't have it anymore. He just so over it, so done with it, and pretty much telling people on the team that he's done and going to be through playing, but yet come back after training camp and plays a phenomenal season. And so, you know, it's kind of hard to say what to believe or know what to believe when it comes to Brett. So, I'm still thinking it's left up in the air. I'm one of those guys. I see it when the season starts. So I won't count nothing out as far as coming to is he going to come back or if he's going to play until the season starts.
Yeah, that's how I am. I mean, it seemed like this has been a topic, and I had to start off my opening show talking about it because it seemed like this has been a topic for the last 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, even back in Green Bay, you know. So it's kind of like, man, Brett, what you going to do? So I guess he kind of likes it. Helping him make money, big time commercials, and more just from, you know, adding on to his celebrity. But, you know, for y'all, the people that don't really know, DT, you actually played with Chavars, right? Up in Minnesota?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Yeah. So what do you think? You know, about, I'm not saying what do you think about Chavars, because obviously he was your teammate and you respected him a lot. What do you think as far as with this team that they have around them right now and with everything in place and if Chavars has to take over? What do you think? I mean, like Errol said, he thinks that they will be a good team and can probably make it back to where they were. What do you think?
Well, first of all, yeah, I definitely think they still have a chance. You know, Tavares, being around Tavares, people don't realize Tavares came in and really didn't have that veteran leader to learn from. Mm-hmm. He was kind of thrown into the fire. And to learn the West Coast offense is kind of tough. And, you know, you got to really know what you're doing and sit back and really learn and take heed of what's being said. Mm-hmm. So Tavares was kind of thrown in the fire. You know, being around the guy, got a strong arm, definitely has a huge potential upside as far as his talent level, can make plays on a, and with his arm, and also can make plays with his feet. So I just think it's a point of him being confident. You know, hopefully that if Brett does retire, you know, him being around Brett, learning what, you know, he does in critical situation, how to make the proper checks, how to read defenses and pick up on things to give him that advantage going into the game, I think is going to be real important for him. But I'm excited for Tavares. If he get a chance again, I'm excited to see what he can do because, like I said, I still have confidence in the guy. I know what he can do. I've seen what he can do. And even though a lot of people are still skeptical about him, I mean, think about how many years it took, you know, great QBs such as Brett Favre. His first 4 years, he wasn't necessarily the most accurate. He had his ups and downs in his career. So it takes a lot to be a quarterback. You just got to be steady. I mean, you think of take a guy like Vince Young, who struggled with Tennessee. They was ready to get him kicked out, and then he come back in the middle of the season last year and make the Pro Bowl and prove that, hey, he can still play. So don't necessarily count this guy out. I mean, he definitely has the right pieces to the puzzle to help him and take the pressure off him. He got a great defense that's going to give him the ball and give him those chances. He got a great running back. He got some good, great receivers, and he got a great lineman. So he just needs to go in and do what he needs to do and don't try to force the issue, and which I know he's not, and just play his role. And once he learns his role, I feel like he's going to be – the Vikings going to be right at that level of contending to be a Super Bowl. But also, too, you got to look at their schedule. Their schedule is pretty tough this year, so he's going to have a lot of battle wounds that he got to deal with and try to overcome and get over those obstacles and proceed to the next level.
Yeah, and it's nothing like experience because Chavars, yeah, he's been there. So now it's not like he's, you know, a young kid out there. He's, you know, now developed. He's, you know, a young man, a grown man that's been through it, been through the struggles, been out there, thrown interceptions, thrown touchdowns. So he's been through it. So it's different. It's a lot different from, as we know, when you first step out there and you're in the NFL, like, oh, hold on, now this is not Alabama State no more. This is not Auburn or nothing like that. This is real deal. So it is a big difference.
It's a big difference, man. You get a lot of disguises. Got smarter guys. You got guys that know what they're doing and just know where they fit. So it's a big deal. But like you say, people also need to realize when Gus Frerotte went down, Tavares came in second part of the season and had a pretty good solid career. You know, that second half when he went to the bench, sat and looked and learned and picked up the game and just let it came to him. When he came back in, second half of the season, he didn't do a bad job. He still has a winning record, so. Don't count the Vikings out yet. They still a dangerous team, and I'm looking for them guys to go out and prove that they're still in the hunt to be that Super Bowl champion that they have the capability of being.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing I wanted to touch with you is about the UFL that you played in last year, and you did your thing. You was like all UFL doing your thing, and you took that next step with the people. Was like, oh, wait, hold it, what is this? What is this? And you went out there, did your thing, and actually got picked up by the San Diego Chargers. That last week of the season, you know, I want you to explain to everybody about the UFL, the talent level, and the players that are there.
Yes, UFL is a step, you know, once the European League folded, it's a step to bring some of the young guys, keep guys around. And I felt it was just one of those things that I wanted to do to showcase my talent, you know, and stay in shape and football shape. I was able to go out. Luckily, Dennis Green, they knew me from the Viking days, so they picked me up and we went out there. And then I was able to go out there and I just put on a good show, and I wanted to showcase that, you know, I could still play and still put in a good performing work, and it paid off. You know, I was one of the leading tacklers in the UFL league last year, and then got picked up with the San Diego Chargers. So, you know, and it was fun. There's some talent out there people don't realize. There's some great guys. There's a lot of guys with some NFL experience. So it's not just guys that come straight off the street that you don't know about. You have familiar names. Like this year we signed Dante Culpepper. So they got some big names. That's one of the big names on our team. But look forward to pick up. You know, it's an exciting league. It's a little bit different. They're allowing you to do a little bit more and it's pretty much the same as NFL football. So you do have some talent out there, and it's worth watching. So,
all right. Well, we're going to head to break. We'll be right back in a minute. Listen to Keeping It Real. Chill.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answer Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answer Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement. Get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answer Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answer Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter, formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Women in business today face many challenges in advancing their careers and reaching their goals. There are corporate executives, entrepreneurs, and business owners that have made their mark in business. Now you can learn their secrets and tips. Listen to Women Mean Business as your host, Bonnie Marcus, explores how to thrive in the business environment, navigate the workplace, and climb the corporate ladder. Listen live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel and effectively promote yourself today.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Keeping It Real with Jairus McIntyre and his guests. To get in on the show today, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, we're back here. The next topic I wanted to bring up is Mr. Dez Bryant. Rookie receiver, Dallas Cowboys, just went down with an ankle injury. But before he went down with his ankle injury, first week of practice, the situation with him and Mr. Roy Williams that he's, you know, battling out the starting position with. And Roy asked him to carry his pads, and Dez said no. So, E, the Hunter, what you think about that?
I mean, you know, personally, unlike y'all, I don't have NFL experience. But, you know, in a high school and college level, I assumed it was common knowledge that hazing existed. I mean, you're the new kid on the block. You know, someone's going to ask you to carry their pads or do whatever. But I thought, you know, I might want to ask you two, being as both of you guys have gone through rookie camp, gone through the whole experience, you know, if you guys could share maybe what's the most embarrassing or the worst thing that a vet asked you to do, you know, and how you responded to that.
DT, go ahead. DT, you first. I want to hear this. I haven't heard this before. Let me hear something.
Well, I say the worst thing that has happened to me was when they shaved my head at the Vikings. They tied us down, and all the rookies, they basically gashed our heads and put like all kinds of designs and plugs, and it was a media spectacle. So we all had to walk out there without our helmets on, keep our helmets off, and saw the artwork that they put in our ass, so and then they try to shave our eyebrows. So that was probably one of the real things. But you know, like you said, it's common knowledge that it's going to happen, and it's going to grow, but it's not going to hurt you or anything. You know, it's all fun and games, and you get to do it next to the next rookie. So
hold on, DT. So they shaved that little pea head. You got to shave your head.
Yeah, man.
Man, they shaved your head. I think I do remember that because we actually scrimmaged y'all that first.
Yeah.
Up in Mankato, we came up there, and I was like, man, I didn't know your head was that small.
They did. The thing is, though, they didn't shave it bald. They left like little patches of hair, so it was like all messed up.
So in the preseason game. When when y'all first preseason game, and I guess in the program or whatnot, was y'all's pictures like that, or had your hair grown back by then?
No, they took our pictures before they shaved our hair. That's the thing. So that was a good thing. And then we had to walk around one day like that, and then after that, we got a chance. We had a chance to shave it all off.
All right.
But man, yeah, that was probably the worst thing. But carrying pads and all that's nothing, man. It's, you do that, that's common. Now you always do that, so. I don't know. It's up to the vets to deal with how they want to deal with it. I know our vets, they definitely dealt with those guys how they want to deal with it.
Did y'all have many rookies who refused to take part in the hazing that came about your first camp?
Personally, go ahead. I don't mean to cut you off, DT. Me personally, no. We did with, you know, pretty much what was said, unless it was, I mean, just totally just disrespectful and just crazy to the point where you'd be like, now, hold on, bro, we're going to have to fight about that one, you know. But for the most part, I mean, carrying a pad, I just thought that's what you do. I mean, it's been from when my dad played in the 70s to his grandfather or uncle that played in the 60s on up to now. I just thought, okay, carry my pads, real, and you carry them. I mean, I just thought that was internationally known. That's what you do. So when I heard that, I was just like, man, I mean, I could just shake my head on that. I said, he's gonna have it in for him pretty much throughout the season. Like I was telling Errol, I mean, they can do all kind of stuff from putting something in his helmet to hiding his pads to taking his cleats. I mean, I think they probably messed with him the whole season just from refusing to carry some shoulder pads.
Now, Roy Williams came out and said that apparently veterans will do things like take your credit card and fill up your girlfriend's gas tank with it, or your wife's gas tank with it. I mean, do they really go that far? Would they really take your credit card and go put money on it?
Yeah, I could tell you a situation. I know the linebackers, what we do in Minnesota, where we would go out. Like, depending on what round you were and how much money, they wouldn't just do it to all the rookies. It was just like, with my situation, where we would go out to an expensive restaurant. And basically, it's on me. So they would, like, order all kinds of food, even food they wouldn't eat, but just take home. Wine and all kinds of things, and then they were like, "Okay, Rook," and just get up and leave it, and it's on you, and you pay for it.
Oh, so man, I know your cheat behind hated that.
Well, you got to be smart, man. See, the thing about it, you're right, I am cheating. I'm smart about it. Use it as a tax write-off because it is an expense on the team. So you know what I'm saying? It is a message, so you kind of get a break in that aspect of it. But, yeah, they definitely do things like that, you know, get a limo and let's go out on you and especially those first rounds. The way those guys are making money, it's not hurting them.
Yeah, I mean, with me, well, me being, you know, me not being a first rounder, and any little $1,000 that they talk about spending, I'm like, hold on now, you might as well tie me up to the goalpost before you be spending my $1,000 like this. You know what I'm saying? Because yeah, you know, the same thing that DT said in the situation, we would go out to eat, and I can remember vividly when we were all rookies and we were out eating. Dante Hall, you know, human joystick, punt returner, he we out eating, and we're done eating. So he's like, hey, hold on, waitress, let me get a bottle of this, 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 and that. So he gets three bottles to go. I'm like, no, hold on now. So, yeah, that does really exist, and just with Dez Bryant carrying some pads, I just kind of thought that was mind-boggling for him to be like, no, I came here to play football and to make plays. Yeah, we all are here to do that, but when it comes down to it, you're a rookie, you know what I'm saying?
It's a rite of passage, man. That's how you look at it.
Yep.
I think the one thing that the general public, at least me myself being an outsider looking in, I think we all looked at it and we kind of wondered if the fact that he was brought in to compete for Roy's spot, if that has anything to do with or could have played into the fact of him not wanting to carry his pads. You know, like DT, you know, you were a high-round draft pick in Minnesota, you know, your second year. If there would have been a rookie who would have came in first round your same position, would you have told him to carry your pads, or is it kind of unspoken? You don't do it to people who, you know, you're competing with.
No, man. Even my rookie year, I was competing with somebody. You carry no pads. Yeah, I would have told him to carry my pads. And if somebody I was competing with, and they went and they was ahead of me in my rookie year, I would have carried their pads. It's common knowledge. It's known. Like, you know, it's like you say, it's just a rite of passage. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, everybody has done it. Do it, you know, it's just part of it. So you just do it and get it over with and move on. It's not like he's doing it because he's bitter that you're trying to take his spot or anything. It's just something that's just known. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but I definitely agree with that because when I saw that, I just couldn't. I was like, come on, Dez, man. You know, we know you're a playmaker. We know you were drafted in the first round to help win games, make plays, even maybe take Roy's spot. I mean, so – you don't have to bring that much extra attention to yourself. You're already in Dallas, big time Dallas. They're going to talk about you anyway. So any little thing like that, they're going to make it a big, big deal. And I just thought that he could have saved that. But on from one Dallas receiver to the next, Mr. Miles Alston. Now, I don't know. What I heard was Miss Kim Kardashian was at Dallas Cowboys camp. Now, Errol, chime in on that a little bit.
Well, I can vouch for that because I actually saw the photos of her at the practice watching it. And, you know, Mac, this brings up something we talked about off air. You know, there seems to be a trend with these Kardashian women. And, you know, I don't know, maybe this is something DT can speak on. But if you notice, this is the girl that was with Reggie Bush at the Super Bowl, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. She was in the press box, right?
And when was that, February?
February, yes.
Now, that being said, so Reggie was with Kim and won a Super Bowl, and then Lamar Odom married the other sister a couple months back, and he won a ring. So I guess I'm wondering, is it something about the Kardashian women to where if you hook up with one, you know, does the ring come next? Is that what Dallas is aiming for?
NFC East favorites, hey, that might be my Super Bowl pick. You know, hey, Miles, receiver for Dallas, she out there at the practices, and like you said, one ring to another ring, hey. Might go for the three-peat, for the trio.
Hey, DT.
Yes.
Being a professional athlete, let me ask you this. We all know about the sex tape, and we all know about Reggie Bush. Could you date Kim Kardashian? If you met her in the club next week, and I'm assuming, you know, let's say you're single, I don't know if you have a wife or kids, but could you date her, knowing that she used to date a guy that played in your conference?
Right now, I don't think I could get serious with her because I just feel like, she's out there just a certain type. She's what we call a cleat freak.
And what's that mean?
That she only after, like, football guys, you know? Like, she's one of those, she's just a groupie. She at that level. Like, you can never take her seriously. I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't know. Ask Jared, what do you think? I mean,
me personally, I can
turn it down. She is
a nice looking woman, but I mean, you going from, I mean, February, you was just with Bush,
yeah,
walking around with him everywhere at the Super Bowl after the game, you know, just, you know, everybody's watching you. I am Reggie Bush. I'm with Reggie Bush. And then next thing you know, you're down there in Dallas with Miles Austin. I mean, come on now.
So how serious do you take this girl?
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't take her too serious if I was one of them. But, hey, that's them. She is a nice-looking woman, so they might be looking at that.
Nice.
But it's got to be more than that. Like I was telling you off the air, I was like, man, LeBron talk about joining Bosh and Wade down there in Miami. He need to join one of them Kardashians to get a ring, you know?
Stay in Cleveland.
Hey, maybe that's what Miles thinking. You know, maybe he's like, hey, I want one too. So maybe they got the good luck going.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just a pretty funny topic there, because I didn't even really know that he brought that to my attention, and I was kind of like, wow. And you're going to, you know, it's you all out in public and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I just wonder if there's any unspoken locker room code that just says, hey, you know, if it's a high-profile woman who's attached to, you know, a player in your conference, your division, or whatever, I mean, is it unspoken? I mean, is it okay to date her publicly, or does that look bad upon you? You know, in everyday life, you know, I would never date someone who dated one of my homeboys.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if the same rules apply.
Man, I mean, I don't know. You have to chime in on that, DT. I don't think those rules apply.
I don't think those rules apply, you know, but it's the fact of how she's doing it and how soon and quick, and it just, I don't know, the things that you heard about her, you started real like, is she really that type of woman you want to get involved with? You know, your teammate going to be like, they going to make fun of you. They going to joke about it. Cause
that's what I wanted to know. How has Reggie Bush walked around, you know, when his teammates have seen his girl on tape or can go home at any given time and click play?
Yeah, true.
Hey, that would be a tough deal. Like I keep saying, he's a nice-looking woman, but, man, it comes to a point where you just be like, man, you know, just shake your head. Like, I don't know. Maybe Reggie got past all that, you know?
Some guys can.
He's a bigger man than me.
Yeah. Well, we about to go to break here in a minute, but when we come back, we're going to get into a little Albert Haynesworth talk. So we'll be back in a minute. Keeping it real. Cheers, man.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Haiti has been hit hard by a deadly earthquake. Destruction is everywhere. Tens of thousands are feared dead and hundreds of thousands are homeless without food, water, and basic necessities. Save the Children is on the scene, but your support is urgently needed to help us save lives. Please give as much as you can now. Call 1-800-SAVE-THE-CHILDREN or go online at savethechildren.org. You can even donate $10 right now by texting the word SAVE from your cell phone to 20222. Please give now.
Holistic living is nutrition for not just your body, but your mind and your soul. Holistic nutrition goes far beyond the foods that we eat or the supplements that we take. Discover natural means to heal your body and regain your innate healing powers. That's Holistic Living with Tina Marie Jones on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel, live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Tune in for your weekly dose of good holistic living.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, Grand Am, or even lawnmower racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, the host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster around the world to work each week to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing, while also never forgetting the local weekend warrior. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Power Up Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
Are you ready to talk football with the greatest wide receiver player and coach in NFL history? Tune in to Wide Open with Andre Rison. Andre is ready to talk to you and give his thoughts on the sport. There'll be celebrity guests, coaches, players, artists, and more. He'll go beyond the game with a look from the coach's point of view and feature a high school player each week. Tune in to Wide Open with host Andre Rison, featured Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Keeping It Real with Jairus McIntyre and his guests. To get in on the show today, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to the show.
Yeah, we're back. We're back here. We're going to talk about Mr. Big Albert Haynesworth and his, first, his big ordeal with him not wanting to play in the 3-4 and not coming. You know, I don't want to come because y'all putting me in the 3-4 in the middle and I like this other position. Errol, what do you think about that? What do you think about Mr. Haynesworth getting a big contract and not wanting to play because they got a new coach and they want me to do this? You know, kind of chime in on what you think about that whole situation, because me, it's just kind of, I think, pretty much disrespectful.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it from two ways. I mean, me being a casual fan outside looking in, you know, it's hard to understand how anybody can get, you know, a $21 million roster bonus in April and then not want to come to workouts in May. But, you know, on the other side of things, I guess hearing his argument, you know, I guess he was brought there. He was told he was going to, you know, be put in a position where he could rush the passer and, you know, obviously get the individual numbers and accolades that come with it. And I guess he feels like he was lied to or misled in some way. So, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with it, but I say I understand where he's coming from.
Okay.
I mean, it seems like, you know, they told him one thing and now they're doing another.
So wasn't that under the previous, you know, the previous coaches, wasn't that under last year when he came in with Zorn, or was that, did they say that
yeah,
now,
yeah.
though?
Yeah, that was Zorn, but if I'm not mistaken now, the whole thing is Washington wants to play nose tackle, right?
And, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I know DT, like you said, you played with, you know, a couple all-pro D-tackles and, you know, Kevin Williams and Pat Williams. I mean, you could probably answer a little better. I mean, you know, the nose guard position, from what I understand, is just to stuff the middle. And if that's the case, he's not going to get his numbers. So I would think that's what it has to be about, you know.
Yeah,
I don't really know. I mean, DT, what do you think? You know, you play with guys of that caliber.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, when you play the nose guard position. And let's go back. Let me go back to what you said as far as like what he was told to help him get those numbers is, you know, those sacks, those tackles for loss to make plays. Now, if they move him in that nose in that 3-4, you know, being in San Fran and knowing a little bit about a 3-4 system, he won't be able to get those numbers. And what people may be missing out and what they're not saying, they don't know what's in the contract, his contract as far as his incentives.
Mm-hmm.
His incentives. If it's incentive, say, if you get, like, let's say, 6 sacks, 8 sacks, you get $1 million roster bonus, you get a bonus here and bonus there, or you get this many tackle for loss, you get a bonus here, bonus there. Well, if you put him in that nose where all he's doing is taking up two guys and letting those running back, I mean, for linebackers go free, then he's missing out on $1 million here, $100,000 here, or $1,000, whatever, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
People not realizing, you got to take that into the fact that, you know, with him going to that 3-4, that's where he may be like, hey, you know, you told me this is why I want to do this and that, so I can get my numbers and hit my incentives. Here you putting me in a situation where I won't even reach these incentives. Because you got to have guys that have incentives. And Jerry says, you know, you put in a contract where if you get so many sacks, you can get up to $2 million.
Uh-huh.
So you're telling a guy he can't get that $2 million because you want him to play another position. I mean, I think he had every right to be upset.
Yeah, and I think for some outsiders, they're looking at it as, well, you got this roster bonus for $20 million. Take your $20 million, play football, and do what you got to do rather than worrying about the extra $100,000 or $200,000 or $1 million, but you got to get it all while you can. So I understand exactly what you're saying when you bring up that point.
Yeah, and it's true what you say, like, people looking at, oh, you got $20, $21 million roster bonus, so what you worry about another $2 million? Man, when you get as much as you can, and if you ask any football players, get as much as you can while you can, while you're playing.
Yep.
So you can't tell this man not to go out and get his money for something that was promised and tell him to get a situation that he was promised to be able to make plays.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, you got to look at that both sides, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to, I mean, if they change the contract up and redo that, I'm not saying that they have it in this contract, but who said they don't have it in this contract as far as these incentives? But, I mean, I think he would be a great nose tackle. Those guys, those linebackers would love having somebody like him because he's going to command a double team and he's going to command even some triple teams. So he's going to take a lot of focus off on them linebackers and allow them to run free and make plays. And that's going to change the whole defense up and make the whole defense better. And that's why – and they know that. And that's why they want to put him in that middle because they know that you've got to have a stellar nose tackle and a 3-4 to be successful. And he's that guy. So,
DT, would you call him selfish though? If say the ownership and the defensive coordinator, they know that they have somebody that can play in that 3-4 that can help that team tremendously with the linebackers, you know, making plays. Would you call that selfish on his part, not wanting to do that because of them knowing what they have at the linebacker position and then being able to make plays, knowing that they have a big beast in the middle that can make plays? Would that make it selfish on his part? Would be like, well, I want to get my tackles for a loss. I want to get my sacks. You know, forget y'all linebackers and helping this team. Let me get my plays so I can get my money. Do you think that makes him some type of selfish football player?
In a way, but you got to think, too, like it all goes back. This is a business. Don't let it be fooled. This is a business, what was told to him.
Mm-hmm.
Is it selfish for them to put him in a situation for him not to get money? So they can save that, so the owner can save their money? Is that selfish on their part to put him in a situation where he won't get those incentives and won't get that money?
Mm-hmm.
So it goes both ways. Yeah, it could be it looks selfish for him to not to be a part of the team. But what's to say they can't go and restructure the contract and take that out and just give him the money that they know he could possibly make, you know?
Yeah.
So they can easily do that and be in this whole situation be taken care of and be handled. So – I mean, you got to go both ways. Yeah, it looks selfish, and it can be selfish, but also it can be selfish on Washington as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they could go out and get another D tackle who may not be as good but just as effective to play that position and put him in a situation and not make him play in a position that he wasn't told that he was going to play.
Yeah, that's
so
real.
So you got selfishness on both parts of the deal. You just got to look at it and realize this is a business, and that's part of it, so.
That's real.
You know what, fellas, I got a question for both of y'all being part of the locker room and the locker room culture. I mean, from the outside looking in, let's hear these stories about how when guys don't show up, whether it's Haynesworth or Revis or whoever it may be, they always try and paint this picture like the teammates are going to practice upset or mad at these people. You know, like your teammates go take the field and talk bad about you. When you walk back in after you do sign or agree to come, like it's going to be a problem. I mean, Dante, like you said, with it being a business, do the other players around, do you guys take personal offense if someone feels they're not being paid well enough so they don't want to practice?
You want me, Josh, you want to go? Or you want me to
yeah, I mean, I think at times you hear it and at times you see it, like you want to feel it, be like, man, this dude here making $5 million. You know, I'm over here making $200,000, $300,000. Like, you hear it a little bit, but it's not as much as they, you know, make it out to be, but you do hear it a little bit. You really do it. Or if somebody's holding out, then they finally come in. I mean, you just say, okay, what's up, bro? You know, you don't really talk about it that much. As much as they talk about it, you know, on the radio or on TV, you don't talk about it as much, but you do hear it. What do you have to say about that, DT?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I just think it goes both ways. You know, some people. I think everybody realizes in the locker room this is a business. I always try to say that you can't take it for what it's worth. I mean, you can't have a guy that's getting underpaid. And you got to look at it like this. When you're not performing up to your contract, what they do? They ask you for a pay cut or they release you.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference if you outperforming for you to go back and be like, hey, can you pay me what I rightfully deserve?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because people always go back, well, he signed a contract. Well, you sign a contract and you underperforming, they're going to come at you and either they're going to release you or they're going to ask you to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
So how is it fair for them to do that to you when you go back and or when you overperform, I mean, outdoing your contract, and it's selfish for you to ask for the right money that rightfully deserved to be yours? So a lot of players knows that it's a business, but you do, you know, I mean, you have some grumbles about it and whatever, but by the end of the day, everybody knows that only you can take care of you and you can handle your business. But when you get back, let's go and let's do this job and let's do what our common goal, and that's to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because you know what? It brings up a situation. I'm sure both of you guys remember this. A couple years back when Javon Walker was with Green Bay, he was underpaid, and he held out. And Brett Favre went to the media and called him out and told him he was selfish and he needed to come. And if I'm not mistaken, he came and tore his knee up before the season started.
Yeah, that's the thing. That is so true. People don't realize he came back, he get hurt, you tore his knee, now he can't get his money.
Yep. And that's the same thing I was talking about earlier a couple months ago when I was on Ray Ellis' show with Chris talking about Chris Johnson's situation. Now, this man just rushed for 2,000 yards, and he's getting paid less than number two, number three running backs on other teams. Now I'm like, okay, I'm going to honor my contract, but if I outplay it, which I did tremendously, rushing for 2,000 yards, I mean, give me some money. Like, give me some money now, because I play running back. All it's going to take is for me to run up the middle, Ray Lewis hit me, I break a rib, you know, crack my knee, and I'm done, you know? So give me my money while I can. While I can get it, just like you were saying, DT, get as much money while you can, because it's football. You're going to get hit, you're going to get hurt, you're going to get break, you know, you're going to break up. So when you can get that money, you got to get that money.
Hey, and Jairus, I know we had spoken. I know this is something, a topic you're going to be touching on, but I just read an article that said Darrelle Revis is the sixth highest paid defensive back for the New England Jets.
Yeah.
I mean the New Jersey Jets.
New York Jets.
Sixth highest paid.
They got a name for him, Revis Island. He down there locking everybody down, and he's the sixth highest paid. I mean, that just doesn't really make sense. Give that man his money while he's on top of the league, while he's quote unquote the best corner in the NFL. Give him his money while he can get it, because I mean, like you said, sixth highest paid. So that means you're trying to tell me if he's the best one, he should be the sixth highest paid. Now, sometimes it works out like that where it just happens to be you are the best and you're not the highest paid. It works out like that sometimes. But I mean, this man is probably unanimously, you know, he's probably the best defensive back in the league. Nnamdi, a couple other players, Champ. You know, you got two or three, but you would think he's in the top three if he's one of the top three. If it's a toss-up in the top three, I would say, okay, give him the top three money, not the sixth highest paid, because from the sixth to the second or third is probably a good $5, $6 million.
Per year difference, right?
Per year difference. Yeah, exactly. He's trying to get, like back to what DT said, get all that money while you can. But we're about to head to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about these rookie contracts and a little bit of LeBron.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Get ready to go inside the minds and behind the scenes with the top professional athletes, celebrities, and music entertainers. It's a sports show like no other.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real with former NFL wide receiver Jairus McIntyre is real talk with in-depth interviews, topical discussions, and a whole lot of comedy. You'll hear from the entertainers, the athletes, and the fans.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real with Jairus McIntyre is broadcast live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America Sports Channel. You already get the general sports headlines and discussion on TV and radio. Tune in to The Blueprint with Randall Gatewood. Yeah, we'll cover all the general big name stuff too, but we go beyond the typical sports radio show to bring you the details you don't get anywhere else. We'll talk about the inspirational stories and the little known successes. If you want creativity, The Blueprint is the place to be. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you love sports talk?
Can't get enough sports talk?
Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter, formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Keeping It Real with Jairus McIntyre and his guests. To get in on the show today, please call 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Now, back to the show.
We're going to talk about these rookie contracts for a minute here and how it's crazy how, I guess, a player, a quarterback, defensive lineman that hasn't played a snap, which has proven themselves in college, like we said earlier, it's a big jump, to actually get a guaranteed $35, $40, $50 million, never have played a down in the National Football League. Now, I'm not mad at the players because, they got drafted high, and that's what it is. You give me my money. I'm not mad at them. I'm mad at the system where you have Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Drew Brees, you know, for to say, waiting to get paid, and Mr. Bradford gets $50 million, has never played. Might not have offensive line, might not have even some receivers, so who knows what he can really do. Now, I know they got big Steven Jackson, but I know that. But give me your opinion, Mr. DT. You were second round. You were pretty high. And like I said, we know a lot of cats that went second overall, fifth overall, ninth overall. Love them. They hating on them. They getting their money. That's great. But I want to know, what do you think about these rookies getting this big-time money, never played a down?
Well, like I'm like you, Jess. I'm not mad at the players. Hey, get your money, man, because you deserve. You work hard, but at the same time, the system is kind of, I think, is really flawed right now. It's starting to get ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Because you think, okay, it goes up every year, and they said they have a season next year. Who knows what the lockout is going to be or whatever. Mm-hmm. So in the first round of next year, he's supposed to get. The one who got guaranteed this year, Bradford, got $50 million guaranteed this year.
Mm-hmm.
So next year, the other guy, the next guy, gonna have to get more than that if he's a quarterback.
Have to.
And it's a trend that keep going up. So within, like I said, like 5 years, so you never know. You getting a rookie that's getting like $75 million, and you still got guys like Tom Brady who never even reached that pinnacle of getting money like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also too, when you start giving all this money to these rookies, and I mean, it's going to be come to a point where coaches going to have a hard time coaching them, because they're going to, the quickest thing they can say is like, "What you going to do? Release me? You can't release me. I got more money than you. And even if you do, still give me my $50 million.
Yeah, I'm good. Like Jamarcus,
I'm still good. I'm still comfortable. I'm happy.
Yeah.
So it takes the thing. I think what it takes out of the game is competition and competing. And striving to do the best that you want to do. Yeah. Granted that a lot of these players will do that on their own because it's natural instinct for you to compete and want to be that great person. But you're going to start seeing guys, well, you have seen lately, guys not really putting in the effort and the time to go out and perform and do their best. I mean, unfortunately, like a Jamarcus Russell.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is great. Got a great potential.
Big arm,
I mean, but he's a young kid with all this money, and it's hard to tell him, you got to do this, you got to do that, to be this prototype quarterback and prototype player, because he's getting pulled in the direction, oh, let's go party, you can do this, I can do that, oh, you're fine, don't worry about it. So, you know, it's going to have to change with the system, and definitely these veterans deserve, who's proven himself, like an Antoine Winfield.
Mm-hmm.
Who never even received, came close to getting the money that these guys are getting guaranteed, and he's a great player.
Great player.
You know, even Darrell Revis, who's struggling to get a contract, and you just give a guy who ain't did nothing, like in the league, like Eric Berry. yeah, the safety, mm-hmm. he's got like 36, 34 guaranteed, mm-hmm. and you struggling to give a guy who's proven himself to prove to be the number one defensive back in the league?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yep.
There's something wrong with that. That's when you start saying, okay, it's getting ridiculous. We understand. Let's tweak this system and start giving back to the guys and our veterans who've proven themselves and made this game what it is today. You know?
Yeah. What do you say about that, E? Well, I guess he's not on. But, yeah, I definitely agree with you because with these guys making this kind of money, I mean, this can go out to the older players, you know, the retired players. Not saying it should, everything, but, I mean, just portions of that just could go to different things with the NFL rather than just giving it to your players. I mean, to the rookies that haven't played a down. So, I mean, it's just kind of tough. It's a real tough situation. Do you think players – the rookies, do you think they actually look at it, at the veterans, like, hold on, I got more money than you, and I'm trying to – because it's kind of hard for them to be hungry again. Like, you want to make plays in the league and you want to do your thing in the league, but it's kind of hard for them to be hungry if they have 40, 50 million. It's just hard. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of players, like you say, it's hard to be have that hunger, you know?
Yeah, because
– so. Yeah. But like you said, I think you hit on a good point, Jared, when you said they can take a lot of this money for the pool and set up for veterans.
Because
when you're done, you know, you go through it, you can set up you can better insurance plan, you can better different types of policies for when they need medical surgery on like different knee replacements and hips and retirement funds. You know, you can break it up into that aspect and use that way, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
so
and that's what I was saying.
Money,
I mean,
and just put it into like the investments as far as like veteran guys.
Exactly, because you're just giving this money away to the unproven.
Yeah.
Because if you're giving this money away and they're unproven and it happens just not to work out, you gave money away. Really, at the end of the day, you gave money away to rather than thinking about okay, well, we got this over here, we got this over here, we can do this for the NFLPA, we can do this, we can do that, and just putting it all together, you giving it away. And I just don't think that. That's, you know, the right process of actually giving that money, giving it away. Because, like you said, it could be different things done with just different people.
Yes. Best of, like, for veteran guys who've proven themselves, you can set up you can put more money into their benefit plans as far as, like, when they're done in retirement. I'm not saying, like, their 401k, but just for, like, insurance-type purposes and, you know, things. Because if those guys who play those years, definitely going to have problems with knees, back, you know, neck, whatever. You know, you never know what the situation is. And, you know, you could take that money out of that pool, that rookie pool, and set it aside more towards better plans for future veterans.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
like I said, I always want these young boys, these rookies, to get their money, and because they deserve it. They worked hard in college just to not the extreme that they're doing now because – I don't think it's the right way. It's not the right way to have somebody that hasn't proven themselves getting this much money. But I want them to get money because they need to get money. And, I mean, the NFL is going to try to get what they can out of you. You got to get what you can out of them. But in the same time, make the whole thing fair. Make it all as one and make it a good common business so everybody will be, you know, get their portion and you're another piece of the pie.
Yes. And also, too, when you do it like that, you raise the level of competition because they compete their butts off in college, you know, so they get their money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a certain amount where they got to compete for that second contract again,
they're
going to raise the stakes of the game and they're going to make the game better and you're going to get more and better production of the players.
Exactly, because you're going to be hungry. Just like you are in college, you're going to be hungry.
You're going to be hungry.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a natural trend. It's a chain reaction. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we about to close out, big homie DTZ. We appreciate you coming on, chopping it up a little bit. Good luck in the UFL season. And my big homie Errol Hunter doing this thing, helping me out doing this thing today. Next week, catch me, 1 o'clock Eastern time on Keeping It Real. I'll holler.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.